From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 13th day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Daryl Good will be along with his view of the marketplace. A quick item here, he suggests now, maybe very soon, would be a good price to think about pricing out some of the 2016 corn crop, and even thinks about 2017 as well. You'll want to hear what he has to say. And then as we finish out our time together, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. That's what's driving the market. The folks up at Risk Pulse in Chicago will be here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures in Chicago today finished 7 cents higher in the nearby July contract at $4.30, December at $4.40, up 9 1/4, and the March corn 9 1/2 higher at $4.45 1/4, July at $4.50 1/4, up 9 3/4, December corn 2017 up 2 3/4 at $4.14. Daryl Good thinks that number is important for you to hear today. July soybeans at $11.69, down 9 1/4, August at $11.69, 8 3/4 lower, November at $11.59, down 3 3/4. January futures 2 1/2 lower at $11.56 1/4. Bean oil down 25 cents. Bean meal $5.60 lower. July soft red winter wheat at 3 3/4 lower, finished $4.91 1/4, and the hard red at $4.60 3/4, down 7 3/4. Live cattle futures were off the limit, down $3 in the June at $119.45. The same for the August at $114.35. August feeders $4.50. That's the expanded limit lower at $141 and a nickel, in September at $139.70, down $4.42 1/2 cents. Lean hogs for the day at $81.82 1/2, down 45 in the June. July at $86.10, up 40 cents for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good Monday to you, Kurt, sorry about that.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Now, tell me about this marketplace and why we have corn higher but soybeans that much lower.
Well, that's a good question. We actually saw beans quite a bit higher in the evening trade than the shift moved to the corn as we moved into the regular day session. Forecast, as you mentioned there, on the weather, we went from 1 to 2 inch rain amounts this week to 1/4 to 1/2 to 3/4, and spotted coverage, we'll see if that shifts a whole lot. Trade mentality is, well, corn's in more of a dire need right now for some moisture, and as we move further south where the crop's a little bigger, they're going to start moving into pollination. And so we saw a situation where a little bit of unwinding of spread activity more than anything. Spread activity has been rampant for the last 6 to 8 months, and I think we saw some selling of the beans and buying back some corn. Corn end users coming forward a little bit here to gather some coverage. Bean sales are a little bit slow. Shipments, we shipped out over 61 million bushels of corn. Emphasis on corn right now, and we did see a sale of sorghum to unknown destination. And corn could be the spotlight here for a while. Beans take the back seat. But if the weather continues to be a concern as we move more into the growing season, it doesn't matter which corn or beans, they're both going to be a dynamic market.
Is there anything left from the USDA's World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate report on Friday that you think we ought to make sure that we note still today? I know corn for new crop dropped to ending stocks, 145 million bushels.
Yeah, the theme there was basically the increase in demand. Exports, a little higher crush. The next adjustment is going to be the acreage and yield as we go through the growing season. Those numbers are benchmark. We had Informa come out today, and instantly the trade compares to the June report. With corn acreage down 1 million acres, it suggests that we could lose 167 million bushels of corn. So new corn carryout could be down in this 1.8, 1.9 billion bushel. Saw an increase of bean acres of 1.6 million acres, so bean production could go up 75 million bushels, which in return would equate to a 335 million bushel carryout. So that report's a benchmark to go from. That benchmark's going to change dramatically here at the end of the month when we have an update on acres. Then, of course, as we get more into late June, early July, watch the good to excellent category, and traders are going to start to shuffle that yield. The thing on the 168 bushel corn yield is most agree that corn yield needs to drop into the 160, 158 to see a dynamic market materialize, because at that point you shrink that carryout quite a bit. But remember, though, if we see a big drop in the overall corn yield, it's going to have to be Midwest-wide. You just can't be outside of our growing region. It'll have to materialize here, too.
Anything that you see under growing conditions at this point, and USDA will have its next crop progress report here in about 45 minutes, that would indicate we have problems or just too early in the growing season?
It's still early, but if it's your farm, there are some situations out there where it looks a little rough, and it is a concern if it's your farm. But it's still early here yet as a whole. This afternoon's conditions report expected to be about unchanged, expecting corn and bean conditions to remain in this 73-75% good to excellent. We missed some of these showers here this week. I imagine next week's report could start to show a little deterioration. Once again, the regional breakdown would be kind of a key thing to watch here on these weekly reports to see what part of the state or states are a concern.
I made note in the drought monitor that there is kind of a tongue of a dry pocket, which is considered in really early stages of drought that runs from very far northern Missouri up in through the middle of Iowa. That might be something to watch, I suppose, though it can dissipate very quickly, I would think, with one or two quick rainfalls.
Yeah, that's the whole key in through here. There's a shot of some moisture. The key is the coverage. You know, this crop's genetics-wise is a lot better than it was back in the late 70s, early 80s. And it can hang on, but it's going to take some timely rains in through here. If that materializes, you know, guys will be on track here to, you know, have a fairly decent shot at some good bushels to work with.
We'd better check in on the cattle market. Why do we have limit down moves there?
Well, it started with the higher grain prices, and the feeders took it on the chin on higher corn spread unwinding there and spilled over to the fat. Actually, cash trade was starting to develop at some fairly good levels. The cattle market's been just like the old pork belly contract, straight up, straight down. I imagine we'll probably follow through lower tomorrow, then see this thing reverse back up to the upside here. Hogs have gained tremendous ground to the beef side of the equation and through here. Pork demand continues to remain strong here as we go into the summer months.
Any other items on your list to discuss for the afternoon?
Yeah, just a few notes. Corn is 60 cents above the spring price of $3.86. Beans are $3 above the $8.85 spring price. So there's tremendous opportunity to do some marketing, conservative marketing, as we go through the growing season. Also, 2 December corn futures high today at 446 and three quarters is equal to the high we made a year ago last July at 446 and three quarters. So there's a lot of things out there to be watching here, and we expect quite a bit of ups and downs here as we go through the growing season.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Here's what's happening in today's agricultural news. The fiscal year Health and Human Services and Education Appropriation Bill includes a provision that would stop new restrictions on fertilizer sales. North Dakota Democratic Senator John Hoeven says the bill moved out of committee on Thursday and would also stop the Occupational Safety and Health Administration from forcing agriculture retailers to comply with the same chemical storage requirements as wholesale facilities. Hoeven says the provision is needed because the ocean OSHA regulations yet to be implemented have already caused 9 facilities to close in North Dakota. Hovind says the OSHA proposal would cause many retailers to stop selling to farmers at rural locations and threaten to limit the supply of anhydrous ammonium, a nitrogen fertilizer that, of course, is vital to farmers. Well, farm groups in Canada are blasting U.S. truck washes for being too dirty to prevent the spread of porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PED. This comes as 3 farms in Canada discovered the virus in the past 2 weeks. Last month, Canada revived a requirement that trucks delivering pigs to U.S. farms be washed before returning home. The recent infections are fueling concerns among Canadian farmers and veterinarians that commercial U.S. truck washes are contaminated with the virus and raising the risk for outbreaks. However, there is no proof linking U.S. facilities to the latest cases. Manitoba Pork General Manager Andrew Dixon simply said, "We have our deep, dark suspicions. The problem with commercial washes, according to Canadian farm groups, is that some use recycled water, which can spread diseases, and others do not heat trucks enough to kill viruses." And finally today, the American Bankers Association told Congress last week the growing volume of bank regulation is making it harder for America's hometown banks to meet the needs of their customers, particularly in rural communities. Testifying in front of the House Small Business Subcommittee on Economic Growth, CEO of the Oklahoma Bankers Association, Roger Beveridge, told lawmakers regulation shapes the way banks do business and can help or hinder the smooth functioning of the credit cycle. Beveridge testified that the new regulatory atmosphere, not the local economic conditions, is often the tipping point that drives small banks to merge, noting that there are nearly 1,500 fewer banks than there were 5 years ago. First National Bank CEO Shan Haynes of Kansas told lawmakers that overregulation on rural America hinders growth for rural communities. Haynes also claimed the farm credit system puts rural banks on an uneven playing field. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The price of corn in Chicago is up about 75 cents since the end of March, and this may represent a good corn marketing opportunity. The price strength comes from dry weather conditions in South America and the associated strength in the export demand for U.S. corn, writes University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good on the Farm Doc Daily website. He also indicates there are expectations for planted acreage to fall short of intentions, and some recent yield concerns associated with an extended period of hot weather. Good says that last note is really important, but that the end of the month USDA reports are likely to weigh heavily on the trade.
Prices now will reflect weather conditions and summer weather forecasts, but will also be influenced by the USDA's grain stocks and acreage reports to be released on June 30th. The estimate of corn stocks as of June 1 will reflect the recent increase in the pace of exports and will also reveal the pace of feed and residual use during the third quarter of the marketing year.
The expected size of the June 1 stocks can be calculated based on consumption data currently available and on the assumption that feed and residual use is on pace with the USDA projection of 5.25 billion bushels for the year. Based on the USDA's grain crushings and co-products production reports for March and April, and on the EIA weekly estimates of ethanol production during May, corn used for ethanol production during the third quarter of the marketing year is estimated at 1.24 billion bushels. Corn used for other domestic industrial and food products is estimated at 360 million. Adding those numbers to the cumulative export inspections during the first three quarters of the marketing year, along with some other calculations, and the whole thing sums June 1 stocks at 4.623 billion bushels. This is 170 million larger than stocks of a year ago. Stocks would likely have to differ from that estimate by more than 50 million bushels to produce a price response, admits Daryl Good. Well, the June estimate of planted acreage of corn is generally expected to be less than intentions of 93.6 million acres. That was reported back in March, as some acreage may have already switched to soybeans due to the increase in the soybean price. Again, however, with the decline in prevent plant acres this year and some increase in crop prices during the planting season, total acreage of spring planted crops may have exceeded the surprisingly small March intentions. That potential increase creates some uncertainty about the magnitude of corn acreage. A June estimate near March intentions would be somewhat bearish, depending on late month weather and weather forecast. Well, the bottom line, writes Daryl Good, is that without substantial surprises in the upcoming USDA reports, corn prices will be mostly influenced by weather and yield expectations. And that's usually the case for this time of the year. He says the market has already begun to price in the risk of a 2016 average yield below trend. Increasingly, analysts are drawing parallels between the late 1982-83 weather pattern that resulted in very low corn yields and the 2015-16 weather pattern to date. Here's what Daryl Good thinks farmers should do with this knowledge.
Producers have waited for and are now welcome the higher corn prices. The higher prices, coupled with uncertainty about summer weather, however, means that producers now have more price risk. December futures prices are now 60 cents above the crop revenue insurance price established in February, so that there is revenue risk for unpriced new crop corn. Still, prices would continue to increase with unfavorable summer weather conditions. What to do? Managing the current new crop price risk can be accomplished with a combination of the timing of incremental sales and the use of options or options-based cash contracts.
The choice of strategy, thanks Daryl Good, will be influenced by local crop conditions and production expectations. While developing a marketing strategy is challenging, he says it's important to have a strategy since weather markets provide a window of pricing opportunity that typically persists for a relatively short period of time. One other important item, Daryl Good says the strategy probably should include plans for pricing some of the 2017 crop. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, let's check the cash grain market. Greg Johnson is here from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, farmers, I suspect, really like the new crop and maybe even old crop corn prices at this point. But do they like it enough to continue to make sales today?
No. We had a lot of people calling, but more curious about weather forecasts and this and that and the other rather than actual sales. So with the forecast the way it is, I think a lot of farmers are going to wait and see whether we actually do get some rainfall rather than just wait to see if it's in the forecast or not.
Last week on Thursday and Friday, it looked like something between an inch and 2.5 in the area. And this week, what, 3/4 of an inch, maybe only a half the next couple of days?
And the coverage has kind of shifted north. The farther north you are, northern Illinois, Wisconsin, sounds like there's a better chance of getting some decent rain, whereas here in the central part of the state and southern part of the state, it's more hit-and-miss type showers. The concentration or the general rains will probably be a little bit north. That's the last maps I saw, but now that could change in a day or two too. But today, it looked like it was pushing it north and more scattered rain, 40-50% coverage rather than 80-90% coverage, which is what we were talking about last week.
Long way from that tasseling period. What are the agronomists there at the Andersons saying about the effect?
Well, actually, we look for the crop condition report today to show an improvement in most states in the Midwest. Now, we've got a long ways to go, like you said, between now and pollination time. But at least for this week, the crop rating should show a little bit of an improvement. But in 2012, they looked awful good. The crop ratings looked awful good in mid-June, and by mid-July, they were obviously, a lot worse. So, the weather over the next 4 to 5 weeks will go a long way, obviously, in telling the tale. And unfortunately, I'm not sure what that weather's going to be, but everybody is certainly going to be interested in every forecast, every new forecast that comes out.
Daryl Good this afternoon on the FarmDoc Daily website and just on the air a moment or two ago suggested that many are thinking 1982-83 like for the weather conditions we have at this point. You're hearing that from other places?
Yes, there's been two analog years, 97-98, which was a good year, but then 82-83, which was a dry year. And so, again, depending on which weather forecaster you listen to, we could get rain in just the nick of time, or it just could continue to be warm and dry all year, and we keep shaving bushels off of this crop. So I wish I knew, but obviously the market doesn't know either, and we're seeing some big swings in the market from one forecast to the next.
Are we okay at the moment just to wait for the nick of time, and if it drops, to go ahead and make a sale on the way down?
I think with the poor crop, with Argentine soybeans and Brazil's double crop corn, I think the trade will probably try to make sure that we actually do get some rain rather than just trade off of a long-range forecast. So, yes, I think if you know, you never know for sure, but I think the market is probably going to take more of a prove-it-to-me attitude that we are going to get rain rather than some years where, you know, if we've got abundant supplies, then, you know, oh, there's rain in the forecast 3-4 weeks down the road. We'll sell it off and assume that's right. This year, you know, given the fact that South America came up a little short, I think traders want to make sure we do get those rains here in the U.S.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this June 13 edition of the Closing Market Report. Let's check now the weather forecast with John Davis. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, John, thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, tell me about this pattern that we're in at the moment, if we can call that, and what it really means to the Midwest.
Well, what we've seen over the past week is the ridge of high pressure, which was out near the West Coast. That's where we're getting the primary heat in places like Washington and Oregon and British Columbia. That ridge of high pressure has moved into the middle of the country, and it looks like it's going to stay generally in the middle of the country, more so across the plains in the Midwest as we go through the next couple of weeks. As all ridges tend to do, this ridge is going to amplify or strengthen at times, and then it will tend to de-amplify or weaken at times. And so during this time frame, we are going to have some temperature variability, but overall temperatures will average out to be above normal across a vast majority of the Midwest, with the warmest conditions in the Southwest Midwest. And the ridge will also tend to somewhat suppress rainfall, although the majority of the Midwest will be in a below normal rainfall pattern. So this movement of the ridge from the western U.S. into the nation's midsection will provide a period basically through the end of the month that in general is warmer than normal and then drier than normal across the majority of the Midwest and also into the Central Plains.
I made note last week that on the NOAA drought monitor, there was a tongue of dry conditions, considered drought actually, in a small portion of Iowa. Is that likely to expand?
It is likely to expand, and so the areas that will tend to be on the wet side is the northern Midwest coming up in the next couple of weeks, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, places like that. But for most of the area, you know, near and certainly south of I-80, it is going to be a pattern coming up where you see a mean reduction of soil moisture. That's due to the below normal rainfall trends, as well as the, you know, very warm temperatures that will keep evaporation rates on the high side.
Europe has had a whole lot of rainfall. Can you tell me a bit about what's been happening there?
Well, really extreme conditions across Europe, a lot of rain in Western Europe, but also building heat across the Black Sea region and far eastern areas of Europe. And both of those tendencies look to continue. So some really extreme weather happening across the European continent.
And from the FSU, we always have a lot of wheat exports, some corn as well. What kind of conditions are they working under? You said it was high heat. Are they dry as well?
Well, they're going drier, and then you're beginning to build some heat up across that area. And so that will be another zone where they'll begin seeing, you know, more warmth, more dryness. And so that's an area to watch on the dryness heat side versus Western Europe's the area to watch on the wet side.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday, June 13 edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.